3:05. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is, oh yeah, it's Friday Eve. It's Independence Day Eve. It's, you know, it's that day. It's that day we got to get through to get to the other days. And this week, those other days have an extra day. And so this is the day before the day that, you know what I'm saying. We're getting ready for Independence Day. The vast majority of us have long weekends. I know in many places the workday already ended, right? About, oh, I don't know, 3 hours ago? Noon, the day before the holiday. We got a clock. We'll be working from home. We'll be working remotely. How remote are you working? Well, yeah, I'm going to be looking for the remote because I'll be watching stuff on TV. That's exactly how it is. Congratulations to President Trump, who scores another massive victory. Do you remember when this guy, back when he was, you know, just a guy, I mean, he was president and all, but no, nobody took it, you know, he's this, he's that, we don't like him. Okay, fine. Do you remember when he said, you might get tired of winning. We're going to win so much, you're going to get tired of winning. Uh-huh. Anybody getting tired of winning? Because I got news for you. I'm not getting tired of winning. I'm really happy. I kind of like this winning thing. I do. I kind of like it. This whole winning thing. One of the nice things in the big, beautiful bill, Planned Parenthood defunded. Wow. So my money, my taxpayer dollars, will no longer be utilized for infanticide. Good. I love it. I do. I love that. I think it's great. And the fact that the boys who say they're girls and want to take the spots on the girls' teams and want to take the scholarships from the girls, their case is going to the Supreme Court, and I don't know how to break it to them. They might not be all that happy that it actually is making it to the Supreme Court. Because if I had to go out on a limb here, and you know I don't do predictions, but I get a sense this might be another one of those 6'3 things. And I don't mean 6'3 like that Will Thomas who pretended he was a girl who went swimming. No, I mean 6'2", 6'3". Yeah, we'll see. We've got a lot of stuff that we will be dealing with today. Brian Maloney, media equalizer, will be here at 3:35. I'll tell you, he's got a lot to unpack for us this week. You know, Brian's a political guy. I hate politics personally. I really do. But I know we've got to talk about it. We've got to address it. We've got to deal with it. And Brian's kind of my go-to guy. Brian, I don't know if he loves it, but boy, he's smart. He is a really bright guy. He'll be with us to analyze all the stuff that President Trump has gotten done. It has been the most successful week in presidential history. That's not me talking. Those are those self-proclaimed presidential historians. Many of them on the left, even they have been forced to admit, yeah, it has been the most consequential, most successful week in presidential history for a president. And that was last week. I mean, you know, this week isn't even over yet. Who knows what could happen tomorrow? And we got a whole bunch of other stuff that's going to be coming our way this afternoon, including Mindy Applewhite. Mindy is a friend. She was a career law enforcement officer here in Virginia. Great lady. I mean, a really, really great lady. And her daughter was killed by someone driving a car. Well, you know, Jeff, it's a car accident. Things happen, right? No. This was a career criminal who should not have been released ever, but was released. And that bottom feeder, Scott Sorovel, Virginia Democrat leader, he described Mindy's daughter as just a statistic, a blip, I don't really care in this exchange of what his political policies are. Could you imagine for a second that you are such a creep that you would describe a beautiful, accomplished, talented young woman killed by a career criminal as a statistic? It would seem to me, regardless of your political persuasion, although this clearly has changed, but it would seem to me that every one of us who's, you know, a decent human being would be as polite or as sensitive as possible when you are dealing with a human being whose life was snuffed out. Scott Saraval described Lindsay's death as, quote, a one-off. A one-off. He also described Lindsay as having been hurt. Listen to me, you despicable person. She wasn't hurt. She was killed. This is not a good guy. I would love, I really would, I would love for any of the folks who have a connection with him on a more meaningful basis, you should reach out to him. Right? He's not going to give a crap what I say. He didn't give a crap what the grieving mother of a killed girl felt. But somebody who actually knows him, maybe somebody who, I don't know, actually works with him, has some sort of a real connection to him, maybe you can reach out to him and explain to him that Lindsay was not a one-off. Explain that, no, Senator, she wasn't hurt. She was killed. No, Senator, she wasn't a statistic. She was a vibrant young woman who was making Virginia a better place, which I must say is far more than you have ever done, Senator. You ought to be embarrassed. Now, I mentioned he's not on my side politically. Okay. So I don't have those connections. But it would seem to me that, well, maybe Abigail Spamberger. Maybe she could reach out to her pal Scott Saraval and say, look, Scott, man, you got to make this right. That would be a good thing. I mean, Abby Spamberger continues to tell us she was a police officer for a day, and then she was at the CIA. Although, you know, she doesn't mention law enforcement in her ads. You notice that? I did notice that. But maybe she could reach out. What about Ghazala Hashmi? She serves with Saraval in the state Senate. I mean, maybe once she actually figures out where she lives, then she could reach out to her fellow senator, Scott Saraval, and say, look, Scott, man, you're off base on this one. This is wrong. It's making us look bad. Maybe that's the reason. I wouldn't be surprised if that were the actual reason, but okay, maybe that would be the reason that motivates him to do something. And maybe that Ghazala Hashmi can reach out. Say, hey, listen. You got to do something. Maybe that Jay Jones. The problem is with Jay Jones, Jay Jones is so enamored of criminals himself that I would think he would be hard-pressed. But just as a decent person, right? Is he a decent? I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know him. I've had no interaction with him. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. But maybe he could reach out and say, hey, look, Scott, you're making your ticket look bad. How about that? Would that be an angle? Since, as far as he's concerned, Lindsay was a one-off and a statistic and doesn't even want to acknowledge that she was killed as opposed to hurt. Again, I'm just spitballing here. What do I know? I'm just some guy yapping in the afternoons. But those are just a few of the things that occurred to me. All right, we've got a lot that we will deal with this afternoon. Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, will be here at 3:35. Mindy Applewhite will be here at 5:35. Let me remind you, James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. That is the James River Air text line. You're always welcome to utilize it, 833-804-1140. Oh, I do have a quick question for you. Are you as annoyed as I am when people wish you a happy 4th of July or say, please enjoy the 4th of July? It just torques me, ticks me off to no end. The holiday is Independence Day, and I personally, I know, I'm a stickler, I'm a pain in the rear end, but it does, it bugs me, and I know that people are wishing me a happy 4th of July. I'm not going to say to them, boy, I hope you have a crappy weekend. I wouldn't do that, but come on, is it going to hurt you to acknowledge the actual, you know, holiday? I'm just saying. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Thank you, Rich. It's my friend Rich Herrera, hosts Richmond's Morning News each and every morning, 6 a.m. By the way, right about now, he should be picking up his son Riggs at the airport. They got a big week planned ahead of them. And I know everybody's been trying to help Rich, some suggestions, things to do in Central Virginia. He's got some stuff. I know he and his son are going to be headed up to D.C. That's going to be great. That's going to be great. I personally, just on a personal level, man, I know what it's like to work away from family for an extended period of time. So I'm happy his son is here for the week. And I'm just happy all the way around. And great news. God, did you see the jobs numbers? I don't know the last time jobs numbers were adjusted up. You know, during the reign of error when President Otto Penn was there, every month they were adjusted down. Now with President Trump, every month they keep getting adjusted up, which is fantastic. And unemployment is down. God, what about the economy? Well, the economy apparently is cooking. It's like firing at all cylinders. Well, what about the doom and gloom? Yeah, sorry. I'm not sorry, actually, but we're not getting doom and gloom. You know, there's a big win in the big, beautiful bill. In fact, there are a bunch of big wins. Bunch of big wins. Number of senior citizens will not be paying taxes on Social Security. That's huge. There's not going to be any tax on tips. Think of those people who depend on tips. You got waiters and waitresses, Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, right? The DoorDash people. Tips, that's how these folks make their money, really. No tax on tips. You want to tell me that doesn't drive people to start saying, hey, you know what, I'll do that a couple of days a week, or I'll plug into Uber for one night and pick up some extra bucks. No tax on overtime. Do you know how huge that is for two classes of public servants, especially law enforcement officers and firefighters? That's huge. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime. For the most part, no tax on Social Security. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot about this one. No tax on auto loan interest. Do you think, now again, I'm not an economist. What the heck do I know? But do you think maybe, just maybe, if there's no tax on auto loan interest, it might help convince some people maybe now is the time to buy a car. It could be the thing. Maybe. That's something we... I'm just telling you, I'm looking at it. I don't see the downside here. I also am looking at the fact that Planned Parenthood, Infanticide Inc., will no longer be getting taxpayer dollars. How bad is that? All of this goes into effect. Oh, the only thing, now all of this expires when President Trump leaves office. What does it mean? It means that who's ever going to seek that office after him, regardless of what political party they might be, they're going to have to talk about these tax cuts. Are they going to run on making them permanent? I sure hope so. Are they going to work hard to make sure that they're permanent? I sure hope so. This is a great time. And once again, the economy is working. Exactly. I'm going to repeat, exactly as President Trump said that it would. Now, you can keep doubting him if you want. I, for one, am looking at him and thinking, you, sir, are winning again and again and again, which means I'm winning day after day, which makes me a very happy guy. 327, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRPA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It is Independence Day Eve. It's a great day. And that one big, beautiful bill has passed. Let me tell you the two things that the Democrats were able to do. And it will clearly show how pathetic and childish they are and totally devoid of any substance. In the Senate, their big move was Schmuck Schumer, their leader over there, invoking this strange procedure so he could change the name from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. I don't know what he called it. It is officially named now. It doesn't matter because everybody's still calling it the Big Beautiful Bill. So again, pathetic and childish and really amounted to nothing, which is exactly what Hakeem Jeffries did in the House of Representatives. Spent, what, 9 hours prattling on about nothing? His goal, by the way, wasn't to get the bill defeated. He knew it was going to be passed. His goal was to make sure it wasn't approved today so that President Trump would sign it tomorrow, Independence Day. Well, it didn't work. I've already gotten a fundraising email from the Democrats who have told me 17 million people are going to be kicked off of health care as a result of this. I should point out to you that those 17 million people, if in fact that's a number that's legit, and I doubt it, will be illegal aliens who were never entitled to it in the first place, and able-bodied people who, as Bill Clinton said many years ago, should be getting employed. They should be working, not receiving welfare. So there you have it. Oh, and the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, don't forget. Charitable contributions are now deductible for everyone. Charities should be cheering. All right, well, let's get to the meat of this. Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, joins us every week. He loves stuff like this, and he really does tell us what's going on. Brian, welcome. Good afternoon, sir.
Well, hey, Jeff. Wow. I mean, they're keeping it busy over the fourth holiday, huh?
They are indeed. I know there's some crazy stuff in there, but for the most part, this is another big win for the president, don't you think?
Well, I think it's a major win for him, and it's really interesting because, you know, when you think about, okay, are Republicans going to get annihilated next year's elections or not, when you start looking back and then you realize that if you're a Democrat and a longtime Democrat, maybe you're even a donor, how motivated are you going to be to donate or get involved in their party based on, as you say, how petty they were and how little input they really had into the whole process, and how in the end they really won no battles. I mean, changing the name of the bill is the dumbest waste of time ever. And, you know, if Trump had had to sign the bill on July 4th, I don't think that would have been, I think he would not have minded at all. So, you know, what were they, I don't even know. That's so petty, it's too stupid to talk about. I mean, it's, you know, if that's what they've got and it's all they've got, then maybe we're not in trouble next year after all.
Well, you know, from your lips to God's ears, because I'm looking at this and honestly, Brian, those are the two things that they seem to have been able to do. Change the name. And even that, I know you just said it's not even worth talking about, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, because everybody is still calling it the Big Beautiful Bill.
Well, right. And I'm not telling you what to talk about, Jeff. It's your show.
No.
I'm not a guest dictator here.
No. But you know what I'm saying? That's all they've got from the Senate side. And then all that Hakeem Jeffries could offer was what amounted to a giant temper tantrum in the hopes that President Trump wouldn't get the bill until July the 5th, and then you couldn't have Independence Day as a background. Good Lord, how?
Oh, so he will sign it on Independence Day. I think I misunderstood there.
No.
So they were trying to make it one day later.
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that part I misunderstood. So all they were trying to do was affect the timing of the signing, which no one will remember, you know, 3 weeks from now anyway.
Exactly.
So it doesn't have any, this is what I'm saying. If you're trying to win elections, if you're the Democrats and you really want to retake Congress and they are so close to it in the House, you know, wouldn't you want to really be out there with substantive issues, that really resonate with people? And I don't know why they can't get their acts together on this stuff at all and really, you know, get anybody behind them. And they have it. You know, the best they have is this No Kings thing, which went nowhere. And they really have not been able to get focused on key issues, you know, that might matter to people, because people are really struggling out there. There's no question. And they, you know, I don't know why anybody would give them a dime, Jeff. I really don't.
That's a great observation. Brian Maloney joining us, the great Brian Maloney, media equalizer. By the way, just came across, Brian, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, President Trump will sign the bill. So 9 o'clock on Independence Day, he will sign the bill. So that'll be neat for him. I know they'll do a lot with that. But what are those issues? Look, you and I obviously do not want left-wing people in charge of anything. But you're a smart guy. You've been around this space for many, many years. If they were smart enough to say, all right, Maloney, here's a big bag of cash. Tell us what we're doing wrong. What are the issues? and in typical left-wing fashion, that big bag of cash, it's all unmarked bills. So here you go, Maloney. Tell us the issues we should be talking about.
I really like this whole line of thinking. I mean, this is like the best plan I've heard of in a long time, Jeff. I like you. Keep going with this.
Okay.
Keep going.
What would you tell them? What would you tell them? Hey, guys, here are the three top things that if I'm you, I'd be talking about.
Well, I think, you know, if you had the ability, you'd get the whole thing and start over. But as we know, and as, you know, as we already knew, but we know now even more, you can't. I mean, you can't do anything there. You can't. Everything is set in stone. There's actually very little power that anyone has.
Right.
Most of Washington is on autopilot. Most of these agencies are on autopilot. You can't do much with their funding. You can't. You just, Congress doesn't have the power. The president is ever the power, you know, and that's what people don't understand. Most of that budget every year is spoken for before the debate even starts.
That's insane. What about over in the Senate? Because you were the guy that called this out for the last couple of weeks, and I really hadn't heard other people discuss it until the last week when people were saying, hey, wait a minute, this Senate parliamentarian, who the hell are they, and why do they get to make these decisions, and why isn't this John Thune character doing something about it?
Well, and that's because John Thune is a total fraud. And the fact that anyone believed from the get-go that he would be on our side, even anything, if you've looked at his voting record over many, many years, you'd know that, you know, he's another Lisa Murkowski kind of character, or Susan Collins, that's what he is. And so he's not going to fight for us. He'll pretend to once in a while. I don't know why Trump ever trusted him. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure that he was thrilled with that very, very liberal left-wing parliamentarian who was ruling those ways, because that's probably what he really wanted anyway.
Yeah. I call me crazy. I don't understand why somebody, an unelected post like that, and appointed by, I don't know, some left-wing senator at some point, why that person is still there, and why did they get to say, yeah, I'm going to rule on this legislation? I don't get it, man.
It's, you know, and this is the problem. When Republicans are in power, they don't remake Washington the way, you know, they should.
Yep.
They leave it the way it is, and then they are still playing defense even when they are running supposedly running Congress. They're still the minority party, and they seem to like it that way, and I don't know why.
It is.
I mean, I do have theories. We've talked about it, but yeah. I mean, I don't understand their obsession with it anyway.
Yeah. They do seem, well, anyway, I don't know. Our team invariably can screw up a one-car parade, as we both know. But I'm going to put that aside for the day. I think it's a great win. So, Mr. Maloney, what is next for President Trump? The border is closed down. The economy seems to be turning a corner. Unemployment is down. This big, beautiful bill is going to be signed into law. Is there anything left that he should be doing?
Well, there are all kinds of things left to do. I mean, I do think, though, that for the moment, things are quite calm, and that's a nice thing. But there's a lot that he can be doing. In particular, we still have major issues in this country with voter fraud, with elections that are not valid. And that's something that I'm becoming an activist on now more and more. That people think that, you know, just because we won the last election, that means the issue's off the table. No. We just overcame the margin of cheating. That's all we did. We didn't fix our election system. Okay. So to me, that's what I want to get Trump focused on from here, is fixing our broken election system. And, you know, that's going to really be an issue in Virginia in November, you know, and it's not fixed. It's not fixed. And Virginia is a state where this really matters.
You're spot on. Yeah, we see it every year. You know, Fairfax County is the most populous county right outside of D.C., about as left wing as you can possibly get. And every year, Brian, as you know, they're always the last to report. And shockingly, they always have exactly the number of votes needed to affect whichever victory they were talking about. I mean, it's
and that's also our fault, because our counties always just report first. I've always said that our counties ought to hold back even longer until, you know, by reporting first, they know exactly how many ballots they need to stuff the box and get over the top.
Yeah.
So what that leaves us with is the only time we win is when we overcome the cheating margin. And so we did that last year, and then everybody gets really complacent, like, oh, yeah, that issue's off the table now. Not even close. So we haven't even begun to straighten out that mess yet. So I want to get his attention focused on that. And there are a lot of other people vying for his attention, but anything I can do, because, you know, we've got just over a year before the national midterm elections, but in Virginia, a lot less time than that, less. Months. I mean, imagine if everything is stolen by Fairfax County in November and you're looking at a nightmare scenario. I mean, we can't have that happen.
You're right. Hey, I want people signed up with you. I want them following everything you're analyzing and talking about. Where is the best place to do that?
You bet. So that is facebook.com/Media Equalizer. Media Equalizer, that's one word, or Red Wave America.
I love it. Well, I want you to have a very happy Independence Day, as I like to call it, Brexit version 1.0.
you too.
We'll talk to you next week, my friend. That is the great Brian Maloney, the media equalizer. If you don't follow Brian on Facebook, you need to. Go to Facebook and look for Media Equalizer 348, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. The land. I'm not singing on the air, but yeah. I love Independence Day. What can I tell you? I love it. And remember, all of your British friends, they'll be working tomorrow. Why? Well, because they're British. That's why. Not bad enough they're driving on the wrong side of the road. But, well, this, again, Brexit version 1.0, the original No King's Day. And tomorrow, we're getting conflicting reports. Fox News says that President Trump will sign the big, beautiful bill tomorrow at 5 p.m. Correct, Germ? I got an email from the White House communications folks saying it's supposed to be 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I don't know. But tomorrow's the day. And all that the Democrats in the House and the Senate could do, all that they can come up with, were childish maneuvers to try and change when President Trump would sign it into law. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Social Security, there's no taxes on Social Security. That's not exactly right, as I said. It's going to feel to a lot of people like there are no taxes. What it does, if your income, I think it's $75,000, you get a bigger tax break, like a credit or something for $6,000. So for most people in that area, that's going to do away with taxes on Social Security. But it's not eliminating it altogether. It does, however, eliminate taxes on overtime. It eliminates taxes on tips. I was thinking about the overtime benefit here. I mentioned two great sectors in the public service arena, law enforcement and firefighters. And firefighters at EMS as well. You guys kind of get lumped together in this day and age. But those are men and women who are subject to a lot of overtime. Correctional space as well. Let me tell you something. Guys who are, and gals who are working in any sort of a correctional facility, lots of overtime. Lots of it is mandatory overtime. Folks saying, I don't even want to work. Yeah, well, you got to work. Now, no taxes on that overtime. That's a big deal. What do you think happens with that? Because most people in the areas I just spoke about, you take those folks and you add them in with people who really rely on tips. You're talking about service sector, right? Waiters, waitresses. You're talking about delivery drivers, Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, DoorDash, stuff like that. What happens? Those people, generally here, not the Ross Perot those people, but those people take that money, that extra money that they have, the extra money that they have now because it's not being taxed, and they put it right back into the economy. They are buying things. You put that together with the fact that there's not going to be any taxes on car loan interest now. More people purchasing cars. And if you're not paying taxes on overtime, you know what happens there? A lot of people who in the past would have said, I don't want to work the overtime, boss, are now going to say, hey, I'm available. Think about service stations. Right? You've got folks who right now say, well, I don't want to work on the weekends. But you still have customers who say, well, my car broke down. I'd like to bring it in on Saturday. Some places say yes. Some places say no. What if you had somebody on your staff or a couple of people said, well, you know, overtime, I'd be up with that. That'd be good. I just think we're going to see so many great things come out of the big, beautiful bill that will become the big, beautiful law tomorrow. Sometime during the day, sometime during Independence Day, President Trump will sit down at the White House and sign it into law. Coming up in a couple of moments, one of those guys I mentioned, firefighter EMS, Kenny Mitchell's going to be with us. Operation Yellow Tape. This is a big, big effort, and we need to help them. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 405, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It is Independence Day Eve. A lot of us have got long weekends coming up, right? Three-day weekend. We've got things we're going to do, places we're going to visit, family, friends, fun. While that's happening, I'm just going to remind everybody, there's going to be a whole slew of people who do not have that option. They are going to be working the same shifts and in some cases even longer shifts. Whether that is the military or public safety folks, nurses, doctors, tomorrow's going to be another day at the office, if you will. And they're going to be people tomorrow who get hurt. Every year we'll hear about some sort of an injury, something happens. I come from a law enforcement background, as you know, right? My dad was an MP in the Army 1,000 years ago in a galaxy far, far away. I was a cop for a couple of minutes. And I've interacted with firefighters throughout the years. There's a very healthy, kidding nature that goes along, I think, anyway, with law enforcement and firefighters, right? We make jokes about them because they figured out how to get paid for sleeping and eating and... they make jokes about us. I don't know what they are because I don't think they're funny, but I think they do. And then I come back to the fact that those guys who are firefighters in particular, they're flipping nuts. I mean, really, who runs into a burning building, for goodness sakes? They do. They do it all the time. And they see a lot of stuff that really impacts them. And they, in many cases, have the same problems we on the law enforcement side had. I guess still have of, hey, yeah, well, it stinks, but suck it up, walk it off, take a lap, get back to business. Kenny Mitchell is a gentleman I met a couple of weeks ago at the Big Veil event at Greentop. And a mutual friend of ours, McSloniker, introduced us. And I was just blown away by the stuff that Kenny's doing. And he's joining us in his background, 20-year firefighter. This is a solid guy. Kenny, thank you for being here.
Hey, good afternoon, brother. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, and I'm just so thrilled that we were able to make this work, to get you on the air. We had, I thought, a really nice conversation at that Vail event, and I want everybody to know about Operation Yellow Tape. Tell everybody what it is that you're doing and frankly, why you're doing it.
Yeah, I really appreciate the time, and it was great meeting you there. You know, I did 24 years in the fire service, retiring about a little over a year ago, and I've lost many of friends to suicide as first responders, and I just saw this need. I lost a very close friend to 17 days after meeting me for lunch, and I just saw this need where we need quality resources, we need education, we need awareness through proactive practices, and then get these folks back involved in their community, because a lot of them lose mission and purpose and hope, and that's kind of where Operation Yellow Tape was born. I say on my podcast, it was born on a tear-stained napkin at Tom Showalter's funeral. We need more people talking about this, more men and women in emergency services talking about some of their problems and what does getting help look like, and for them to understand that, you know, all of us face. It isn't always a first responder problem, man. Mental health, hypervigilance, depression, anger, irritability, it's a community problem, and I want to hit it head on. I have my own struggles over 7 years. Didn't face them like I should have right away, but that is Operation Yellow Tape in a nutshell. I'm getting out there. I'm speaking. I'm teaching. I'm doing workshops, and I'm trying to bring the brothers and sisters to the forefront who need the help.
Here's the interesting thing from my perspective, Kenny. I know all about that, quote, thin blue line, right? Because that's my background. But I look at you guys with that thin red line, I'm thinking, oh, come on, everybody loves you. You're rescuing people and helping people, and everybody thinks you've got like a red cape. I mean, how tough could it be to be a firefighter? You're always the hero, but you're seeing and doing stuff, and are you guys on that side of everything also being told, hey, suck it up, it's just the way it is?
Well, I think it's gotten a lot better, Jeff, over the years, but I refer to something called inside and outside the yellow tape. You know, inside the yellow tape is what you did as a police officer, what you're doing now. We all have an inside the yellow tape. But what makes this job unique for us in emergency services is we all have an outside the yellow tape. And outside the yellow tape is where the divorce is, the child custody battles, watching your parents age, becoming an empty nester. I don't know, man, losing your dog, losing your purpose. Just outside the yellow tape, we all have that. And then when you mix outside the yellow tape with inside the yellow tape, with sleep deprivation, a poor diet, seeing trauma over and over and over and over and over for 24 years, it's a recipe for a perfect storm. So my reference of outside the yellow tape is it's really what makes us suffer a little more. And I do agree. People think we wear those capes as firemen, as policemen, but man, we all have the outside the yellow tape. We all deal with life outside of the yellow tape, and it crushes you at times, financially, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually, physically. It doesn't matter. So when those two collide, inside and outside, brother, you got to get on it. You got to get on it quick. And if you sit back and think it's going to get better without any help or resources or people, then you're wrong.
Kenny Mitchell is joining us. Kenny started Operation Yellow Tape, 24 years of dedicated service in the fire service. The tagline is a wonderful one, Kenny. There are too many of us to ever feel alone. And as many first responders as there are, that is something that hits first responders all the time, right? It's a sense of, yeah, it's just me.
It is. It is, and that quote, unfortunately, came at Tom's memorial service when people were walking around and looking at me and saying, brother, there's nobody to talk to. That's why these suicides keep happening. And I looked over this sea of people with the same haircut and the tattoos and the flags and the pride, and I thought to myself, what do you mean? That there are too many of us to not talk to each other. So that's where that came from, and we don't talk. You know, we want to talk to each other, but we don't do enough of it.
What is your mission at this point, Kenny? I mean, you've got 24 years in. I'm sure you've got a pension. You could do pretty much anything that you want, but here you are. You're out there doing a lot of things. Are you actively recruited by fire agencies across America?
You know, I am, and that's a great question, and I appreciate that. And yes, I could be sitting on a beach if I wanted to, man. I did 24 years. I've got a pension. I did the job. But I tell you what, I know the price of wearing these uniforms are for people. So what am I doing? I'm trying to get in front of recruits. I'm trying to get in front of organizations. Yes, I've been hired. I've been in Tennessee. I've been in Florida. I've been in Richmond. I've been in Kentucky. I've been in Wisconsin. And the mission is to get in front of these men and women of emergency services, no matter if it's fire department, police department, ECC, military, corrections, deputies. It doesn't matter to me. Get in front of them early and let them know you may think this job won't change you. You may think your frontal lobe won't be affected, but this job will affect you inside and outside the yellow tape. And if you listen to some of the proactive practices I talk about, and you hear my story, and you listen to what I went through and how I overcame it, I can help you. Because the goal is to retire and to hang that helmet, that badge, that weapon, that headset from ECC in the garage or in your office, and to see it and smile, not to be emotionally and mentally and physically just drained and exhausted. And you spent your whole career helping other people, only to, at the end of your career, fall in the corner and be a person that you used to be. So yeah, Jeff, my mission, man, I'm being hired by companies to come out and do what I'm doing right now, just rallying the troops and saying, you're going to have trouble, and it's okay. You're going to have issues outside the yellow tape, and it's okay. And you're going to have financial problems. You're going to have marital problems, but you can work through it. You can do it.
I love it, Kenny. I want people to reach out to you, obviously. Give us the best way, and you know what? Actually, Germ, let me call an audible here. I don't. It's very rare that I do this, but do you mind hanging out for a couple of extra minutes, Kenny? Because I don't want to rush you. I just think this is way too important to try and squeeze it in the next couple of seconds. Are you cool with that?
Yes, sir. I'm honored for that.
All right. Well, you hang on for just a second. That's Kenny Mitchell. Kenny is a retired firefighter who said, I got to do something. I've got to help guys and gals who are experiencing life on both sides of that yellow tape. What a brilliant, brilliant analogy. What a beautiful image he paints there. Inside that yellow tape, you've got the first responders, but everybody has that life outside. And when you put the two of them together, as Kenny said, it can be brutal. It can be brutal. So we're going to hang on for just a moment. We'll get Kenny. I got to do some traffic and weather sort of stuff, so hang with me. It'll just be a couple of seconds. But Kenny Mitchell with us. We'll get all the contact information. He's somebody, my opinion, he ought to be chatting with your group. You got some sort of first responder operation. This is somebody who should be in front of you talking with those folks. Absolutely. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve, coming up tomorrow, Independence Day. A lot of people doing a lot of things. Most of them are going to be happy and easy and what have you, and there's going to be a whole slew of people for whom it is another day where they got to work. Right? If you're in the public safety space, I'm just telling you, holidays are great for your family, if they don't like you, because you're probably going to be working. Firefighters, I've joked about them for years because I think they're nuts, and I mean that with tremendous respect. I really do. You want to talk about real courage? These are the guys. Kenny Mitchell was one of those guys for 24 years on active service, and I am sure in his heart he still is. He's got Operation Yellow Tape telling us about this inside the tape and outside the tape. So, Kenny, you talked a little bit about Tom Showalter, your brother firefighter, who really his actions had you start this whole thing. So tell us about the podcast. Tell us about everything else that you're doing, because I really want people to reach out to you.
Unfortunately, Tom's taken his life 17 days after meeting me for lunch is exactly what spearheaded this, and I'll continue to drive forward. And every time I feel like I speak or I present, I'm paying him honor, because I think that's what we do. We honor these folks by continuing to say their name. I do have an Operation Yellow Tape podcast. I talk about what we're talking about right here. We get into some pretty heavy topics. Some people send me information they want to talk about. We talk about the brain. We talk about recovery. We talk about therapy and counseling and education. The podcast is going well, the Operation Yellow Tape podcast. People can reach me. It's easy. It's KennyMitchellJr.com. You go straight to my website. Organizations, businesses, churches, they reach out to me through there. You can send me a message if you're interested in having me come out and speak to the most important people in your organization, which are your members and their families. Sometimes we forget the family members take this ride with us. And if you're having a mental health struggle, trust me, your family's going through it too. So I speak very heavily to families of first responders and just businesses in general, because like I said at the beginning, yes, this is the first responder mission for mental health, but mental health is a community problem as well, inside and outside that yellow tape.
I'm looking at some of the things you've got available, and in addition to bringing you out, as we look at KennyMitchellJr.com, that's the website, KennyMitchellJr.com, you've got shirts and hats and everything else, so people can just go to the website, purchase those directly, I take it?
Yes, sir, and that's what keeps me going, is the speaking engagements, and I call it the OIT merch. I've had people send me stuff from the UK, and I'll post it on my Instagram, and I'll put Operation Yellow Tape in the wild. So, yeah, if you go and you purchase a shirt, you're actually the walking billboard. Whoever's behind you might need to see that message. So I do have some shirts. I've got some hats. I've got some things. And every purchase goes to keeping me moving, keeping me going, and getting me in front of organizations who don't really always have the resources to get me there. Somewhere or another, I'm going to get there. And a lot of times those purchases get me there.
I love that. Now, the podcast itself, is it only available at KennyMitchellJr.com, or are you on any other platforms?
Oh, no, sir. It's on everything. It's on Spotify, Apple. You can listen to it from the website if you want, but most folks go to Spotify and listen. They leave a comment on Spotify or Apple.
Okay, because I want to make sure, you know, our company has a giant thing, and they've got all sorts of podcasts. I know that Badge to the Bone is now on Odyssey as well. So I want to make sure we'll send this on to some folks and hopefully get some wider distribution for you, if that's okay.
Oh, I would absolutely love that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, Kenny, I'm just telling you, man, I was blown away just the brief conversation we had. I love the fact that you had some time for us today. I'm hoping against hope that we're going to be able to get you some more people reaching out to you. I just admire and appreciate not just your service as a firefighter. Like I said, I don't get it. I can remember being on my first ever fire scene as a cop, and the only thing that occurred to me, the fire was out, was, man, it is hot, which is a dumb thing to think, except, oh, good Lord, these guys are going in when the fire's raging. So, you know, I don't understand you guys, and I love you guys because I don't understand you, and I appreciate what you do, but I really am grateful for you making the time today and doing what you're doing with Operation Yellow Tape. This is an important mission, brother.
Well, brother, I appreciate your time, and you could have many of people on your show. This show is amazing. It's been around for a very long time, so you having me on here, I'm telling you, it's one of the highlights of Operation Yellow Tape, and I can't thank you enough and the staff for coordinating this with me. This means the world to me. Thank you.
I'm glad to be of service. Thank you, sir. That is Kenny Mitchell. The website is KennyMitchellJr.com, KennyMitchellJr.com. You will want to head on over there again. It's called Operation Yellow Tape, helping first responders, regardless of the uniform that you might wear. Monday, we've got Jimmy Galliano joining us. That's going to be great because the FBI just found out where their brand new headquarters is going to be. 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 436, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. We've got Independence Day coming up tomorrow. A lot of us are going to be enjoying some time with family and friends. Heidi and I are headed down to Chesterfield. Hanging out with our friends, the Morrisseys, down there. It's kind of become an Independence Day tradition, which is wonderful. And get to see some of Emily Morrissey's Special Olympics gold medals. Four of them she has. I mean, she's a superstar. She really is. Excited about that. This evening, I'm asking everybody to head on down to Westchester Commons. You know, I'm part of the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. We are trying to raise $100,000 to celebrate the 10th anniversary of our father figure event. And we have a number of different things going on right up through August when we're going to do the big event over at the Robbins Center at U of R. So this evening, Westchester Commons, one of the guys on my team, Mark Bowen, has put this together, a giant concert, and we need your help. So 5:30 is when it all kicks off at Westchester Commons. Great, great evening there, and supporting Team Katz as we work hard to help out the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. I love people who help. You know that. That's kind of my thing, and I am a big, big fan of the platform Give, Send, Go. These are such good people that set it all up to begin with, and such wonderful people who avail themselves of it. Heather Wilson is one of the co-founders, and what I didn't realize, and I'm reading this, it has to be wrong. Entrepreneur, yeah, I knew that. A wife, yeah, I knew that. But mom to six, that I didn't know. Heather, good afternoon.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Well, I am fine, but not nearly as busy as that I would imagine you are.
Yes, life is definitely an adventure these days.
Goodness gracious, six of them. Well, God bless you. That's a wonderful thing. You and Give, Send, Go have been such a blessing to so many of us, helping people and giving people platforms to help great causes. But you've got some interesting observations, a really practical perspective. This day and age, there's a lot of stuff that's scary for little kids, especially. My kids are older, so I think I've kind of forgotten about a lot of this. But you're right in the middle of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in a world where media is just constantly blaring in our kids' face, first I say shut off the media. Don't let your kids be on it all day. Yeah. But if you do, or if they hear about it, like, there are conversations you need to have with your children. And often as parents, we're like, how much, when, like, how do we navigate that? It can be a hard thing when your kids come home from school or from just even the neighborhood and say, oh, are we going to war? Or taxes or whatever, you know, they hear little pieces of it. And so as a mom, especially as a mom that owns and runs Give, Send, Go, where there's lots of stories all the time, we talk often about, we're not going to hide the truth from you, but we're not going to hand them the weight of the world either. Okay. You know, we want our kids to see the headlines, but they need to see it through the filter of hope. And on Give, Send, Go, that's what we do. We say there's hard things happening, but we're going to share hope with people. And so as I talk with my children, those are the same principles I use in my own family. Like, we can talk about the hard things happen. What's our response? How do we react properly? How do we rely on God during these times and things like that? And so, you know, our goal isn't to make them feel afraid or not afraid. It's to equip them to respond with the right amount of compassion and faith and care.
That's one of the important things. Let me remind everybody that Heather Wilson is joining us, co-founder of Give, Send, Go. That's one of the things. I mean, just in the space of a couple of seconds here, Heather, you've referenced the faith in God. It's the grounding for many of us, and it just provides some more even footing, right, when you're trying to address some of these big issues.
Yeah, it does, because our world tells us that there's no truth. Like, everything's just depending on how you feel today. And I don't believe that. I believe there's a God who is truth. And so when you have that firm foundation, it makes traveling life with children a little bit easier. The hard still is there. You can't take that away, but you have a foundation that you can build on. And so that, again, it ties right back into Give, Send, Go and what we do over there. Yes, we're fundraising for everybody. We believe freedom. We're not going to censor you. We're going to be principled. But with that, we're also going to let you know you're not alone in this, whatever you're going through. And I think that's the type of children I want to be raising as well. Kids that look at hard situations and go, listen, how can I let this person know they're not alone? How can I step in and be a little bit of hope in this world that sometimes can feel really dark?
Tell me about how your kids view Give, Send, Go. I look at Give, Send, Go. I'm a fully formed adult and have been through one or two things in my life, and I read some of the stories, and I'm thinking, oh, good Lord, I want to help everybody, and I can't help everybody, but I want to, you know, I find somebody that I connect with or something like that. But how about for the little people in your house? Do they look at these stories, or do you say, hey, I want you to know about, Mary in Montgomery, and take a look at what her family's going through?
Yeah, I actually think that's a great way to help your kids develop empathy, is take a look on Give, Send, Go and then see that our life, you not being able to go watch TV for an hour or not get the snack you want, is really nothing hard, right? Often we can shelter our kids so much that they don't actually understand that the world isn't just what they see, even in America, right? Like, we live such a blessed life, even the worst off. And so often it's, hey, there's this campaign. We should be praying for this family. Like, they just lost their daughter in a car accident, you know, and things like that that are hard. But it makes our kids understand. We actually have something we call the Giver Army, which is our crowd for the crowdless. People go on, they join the Giver Army, and all it is they're saying, I will give a recurring donation every month to a category of my choice. And it gets pooled with everybody else in that category and goes on to Give, Send, Go and finds campaigns that are struggling to make ends meet, and it gets dispersed to them. So for your $5, it gets pooled with everybody else's $5, $10, $20, and now you have hundreds of dollars being the crowd for the crowdless. And I tell parents, you and your kids, like, become part of the Giver Army and start looking for campaigns and praying over campaigns and spending time going, how can we find something that maybe your kid's into, being a firefighter. And so you look at some firefighter campaigns or maybe adoption. Maybe your family's wanting to adopt. So I think having open conversations with your kids. But again, you don't want to hand them the world or make them afraid. Right. That is not the point.
That's right. What about the extra dollop of difficulty because summertime, kids are not necessarily in school. Maybe they go to camp. Maybe they're hanging. Or, you know, it's just X number of extra hours, if you will, and that means more questions and more concerns. How do you kind of navigate that rapid?
For me, I keep my kids busy, and keeping them busy isn't me entertaining them. It is go find something to do, go play, go outside. And again, I think one of the things as parents that in today's generation that no other generation has had to deal with is the idea that screens are just available everywhere. And we've kind of gotten into this guilty parenting, like, everybody else's kid's on a screen. If I say no, my kids are going to be mad or upset. And so we just allow our kids this freedom to the world through a screen with no filters or limited filters. And so my kids aren't allowed to be on a screen during the day. They go and play. Now, I can tell you that when we first implemented this, and we did it years ago during the school year, they would come home from school and immediately want to turn on the TV. And I finally was like, okay, we're not doing this. So I shut off the TV and I said, we can only watch TV on the weekends. We're not doing it on school days. Oh, the first 2 weeks, I almost gave up because please, oh, we're so bored. It's so hot, whatever. But I can tell you now, my kids don't even ask to watch TV. So parents, if you're listening, stick with it. Like it won't take very long. A week or two of just saying, nope, go find something to do. And if you don't have something to do here, I have this whole basket full of chores. Pick one out. And guess what? They go find something to do right away.
Ain't that a blip, huh? They all of a sudden, they were able to figure out where they wanted to be rather than clean in the bathroom.
Exactly.
Very resourceful. What about folks? I want people to be able to reach out to you. Obviously, Give, Send, Go, wonderful platform. And I know many of my listeners have participated in that. But what about this giver army you just mentioned? What is the best way for them to get involved with that?
So they can actually go to giverarmy.com and read more about it there and sign up there if they're interested. They can also find it on the Give, Send, Go homepage. There's up at the top a tab that says Discover, and in that it'll say the Giver Army. And you can read more, and literally it's saying, I will give $5 a month. And I actually would have my children say, you have to invest something. Hey, you're going to clean the bathroom, and I'm going to give you $5. Or, you know, and then you're going to earn this. So this is not just me giving the money. I want you to feel what it's like to be part of something and then go back and go, wow, look at them. Because you get a report that tells you the impact that you had. And you're like, look, your money, your $5 from just cleaning the bathroom one day a week or whatever, you know, like look at where your money went. And it really develops this sense of responsibility and empathy and all the things we really want our children, this next generation, to be.
I love it. Well, I got to tell you, Heather, I just appreciate everything that you do. I'm going to make sure I share the Giver Army page in particular on my social media. Anything that we can ever do to help you, please, please reach out to us. And I hope you don't mind. We're going to reach back out to you because I just want to keep helping you promote all of this.
Thank you so, so much. And again, likewise, if you ever need anything, you know where to find us, givesendgo.com. We love what you do and stand for as well, Jeff.
Thank you, my friend. That is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And what a great way to bring your kids into it. So givesendgo.com, giverarmy.com, 446, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Macaroni. Hey, 4:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, coming up at 5:35. An absolutely amazing woman, Mindy Applewhite, is going to be with us. Mindy Applewhite, a career law enforcement professional, and her daughter was killed, and she didn't need to be. I mean, not that anybody needs to, quote, be killed, right? But she was pulling out of her driveway, and somebody who should have been incarcerated, still in jail without any question. This was not somebody who ever should have been out on the streets, was out on the streets and killed her daughter. Her daughter, Lindsay, was exactly the sort of child you hope your child is going to be. Right? I look at the stories of Lindsay. Brilliant, beautiful. Okay, that's, you know, is what it is. But accomplished. Did everything she was supposed to do. Was reaching the very highest levels in her chosen career, which was helping. She was a nurse. She had just completed her doctorate in nursing practice. She was a superstar. You talk with her co-workers at VCU. She was always first on the scene, always helping out more. An amazing young lady. She had just gotten married. This was the beginning of her life. And because some reprobate got sprung when he wasn't supposed to get sprung, she's gone. But here's the insult to the injury. And that is Scott Sourival, state senator from Northern Virginia. Mindy has been sharing the story, talking about Lindsay, talking about her loss. And Scott Sourival downplayed it and poo-pooed it in such grossly inappropriate, offensive ways that it's, I got to tell you, it's tough for me even to point these out to you, but I'm going to. He said Lindsay's death, which he called getting hurt, said she was hurt. No, she was killed. Said it was a one-off. Said, you know, it's just a statistic. And I thought, my God, really? How can anybody, it doesn't matter political persuasion, how can anybody who's a decent person minimize the unwarranted death of such a decent human being and insult not just her memory, but insult her mom, for God's sakes? My friend John Burkett over at CBS 6 did a piece on this a couple of days ago. Now, I have that posted on my social media pages, so if you're on Facebook, you can look for Radio Katz, R-A-D-I-O-K-A-T-Z. I mean, it's Jeff Katz, but I'm here to tell you, there's a million Jeff Katzes. So you would have to scroll through a whole bunch of them before you got to the right one. So in parentheses, it says Radio Katz. That way you know it's me. Or the Jeff Katz show page on Facebook. There's only one of those, and I want to make sure you check that out, okay? Just do that, and then you'll be fully up to speed when we chat with Mindy at 5:35. I also want to remind you, everybody has the day off tomorrow. Yeah, we're celebrating No King's Day, and I'll be off. Rich Herrera is off, but Monday morning, bright and early, 6 a.m., Rich will be here with Richmond's Morning News, and I got a feeling he's going to be happier and peppier than he normally is because his son Riggs is here visiting for about a week. So that's pretty cool. And it should be a lovely weekend. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It's Independence Day Eve. It's a long weekend for a lot of us. We've got Mindy Applewhite joining us at 5:35. Honest to goodness, I don't even fully know how to describe the story and the events and what have you, but I'm just so grateful to her for speaking out in the first place. And then agreeing to come on this show to share her story. I have to thank my friend John Burkett crime insider over at CBS6 who had some coverage of this as well. Did a great job, as he always does. So good stuff there. Quick reminder about our James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. First of all, congratulations to each and every one of us. The big, beautiful bill has passed. The best that the leftists were able to do was performance theater in the Senate, that schmuck Schumer was able somehow, some goofy rule they have, he was able to change the name of it from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act to, I don't know, something else that nobody cares about because everybody continues to call it the Big Beautiful Bill. And then over in the House of Representatives, where I should point out for the record, Congressman John McGuire and Congressman Rob Whitman both voted for passage, voted to approve it because it's the right thing to do. But in the House, that goofy Hakeem Jeffries spoke on the floor of the House for 9 hours. Again, some theater tricks. That's what they are. Collection of clowns. I mean, they both should have come out in a little mini car and jumped out. It would have been just as effective, and frankly, it would have been a little more entertaining. Maybe they could have gotten proper clowning tips. I know a guy, right? Do I not always know a guy? Just about always, I know a guy. So if you're looking for clowning tips, Bolly Jarrett, who in addition to being a certified public accountant and the best CPA in all of Central Virginia, according to the readers of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and a fellow John Maxwell devotee and team member, he's also a graduate of Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Clown College. I'll bet you Bolly would have driven up to D.C. to help those two, you know, improve their clowning techniques. Would have been good. Anyway, so that's it. So the bill is passed, both the House and the Senate, as it needs to. It heads to the White House. We're getting conflicting reports about when President Trump will sign it. One brief, where was this? Fox News, right, Jerm, that said it'll be 5 o'clock tomorrow. Another thing I got said it will be 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. Anyway, you slice it. The president's going to sign it, and it will mean no taxes on tips. It will mean no taxes on overtime pay. It will mean a sizable reduction in taxes for people who get Social Security. Not the total elimination, but a pretty sizable benefit. It will defund Planned Parenthood. It will get rid of millions of people receiving Medicare, Medicaid. Well, that's awful, Jeff. No, it's not. Because the people who are being kicked off the rolls as a result of this, and even being the phrase being kicked off the rolls is not necessarily correct, but those who will be kicked off the rolls are illegal aliens who are not entitled to receive those benefits in the first place. You know who else is going to lose some of their benefits? Able-bodied people who choose not to work. There will now be, just like Bill Clinton when he was in office, although Bill Clinton's work instead of welfare requirements were actually more stringent than these, but they're similar. You'll have to find something you're going to do for 80 hours a month. It could be a job, which would be great, or it could be education, it could be training. You want to get off welfare? What a great opportunity. Get yourself a class. Learn something. Learn a skill. I think it's fine. I really do. I think it's fine. So anyway, the Jew-hating communist in New York who wants to be mayor, Zohran Mamdani, he has now proposed that the city of New York buy up private property. Why? He would like the city of New York to buy up private property and turn them into communes. I told you he was a communist. We will slowly buy up the housing on the private market, he says, and convert properties into communes. Well, gosh, what could possibly go wrong? That's a great idea. Fantastic. Community oversight. Community ownership. Wow. Wow. Use our wealth to build housing. Oh, okay. How are you going to do that? Oh, you're going to tax the millionaires and the billionaires. Oh, okay. How many of those millionaires and billionaires you think are going to stick around New York after you institute such asinine policies? Well, I'm here to tell you zero. But, you know, I'm not a mathematician. Golden age, making America great again, promises made, promises kept. The economy added 147,000 jobs last month, much higher than expected. The unemployment rate has fallen. And the 2 months prior to it, the job numbers actually ticked up. They adjusted the numbers up. That never happens, except now that Trump's in office where things keep getting better and better and better and better. Economists, you know, those brilliant economists that said that 110,000 jobs would be created, and they were sure that the unemployment rate would go up. They were wrong on both counts. You know who was right on both counts? Donald John Trump. Here's another little piece out of the economic puzzle that you'll like. Foreign-born employment plunges while American-born employment soars. Not only are we creating jobs, we are creating jobs that Americans are taking. Illegal immigration is down to just about zero. Nobody ever thought that would happen. Well, once again, that's not true. Donald John Trump said it would happen. Most of us, even those of us who support President Trump, thought, well, I don't think that's really going to happen. It's happened. It's happened. Do you want Virginia to be just like New York, where the crazy guy, the Jew-hating communist, wants to be the mayor, who says not only will the city buy up property and turn it into, quote, communes, but also says that taxes should be charged according to some people's races. If you're white, you should pay more. Wow. That's something, huh? Well, if that's what you want, if you want Virginia to be like New York, you want Virginia to be like California, I would suggest to you that you vote for Abigail Spanberger, Ghazala Hashmi, and Jay Jones. They cannot wait to turn Virginia into California East and New York South. If that's what you're looking for, you got it. The rest of us, I'm going to say, probably looking at something else. Winsome Earl Sears, John Reed, Jason Meares. I mean, that's me. You do you, right? That is chapter 1, verse 1 in the book of Jamal. You do you. But I'm here to tell you how I'm doing I, or I'm doing me, or me's doing I. Well, that's what I'm going to do is my point. Simple as that. 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 520, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yeah, it is. It's almost time, isn't it? You're going to celebrate tomorrow? I hope you're going to celebrate tomorrow. Independence Day. It's a great holiday. I know there's great traditions as well. A lot of them involve food. Hey, nothing wrong with that. We've got some ideas. I was over with Tom Leonard and TJ Leonard last week. Remember, we were talking about there's a lot of people that have sort of traditions they do. For me, I love hot dogs. And I can't tell you why exactly that is. Heidi, not a fan. The kids, not fans. So I don't get them all that often. But every once in a while, man, it's like, you know, I just want a hot dog. It's all I want. I want a good quality hot dog. But I want a hot dog. Other folks, it's all about the burgers. You got to do the burgers on Independence Day, unless you're Schmuck Schumer, because you remember, wasn't it last year or 2 years ago? He's probably still trying to cook those raw burgers. They had that photo of him just, you know, just a regular, ordinary guy at his grill flipping burgers, and the grill wasn't turned on. So, well, yeah, there's that. I do have to confess, don't tell anybody. But one of the things that I got over at Tom Leonard's while I was there, well, you already know, right? One of the big giant cowboy ribeyes, the big bone. Yeah. I love that. I absolutely love that. That is so nice on the grill. And you know the nice thing about that is that you can feed a whole slew of people. Right? People sometimes look at it and go, well, I don't know. Yeah. Do yourself a favor. Take a look at those big giant ones over at Tom's, and you will see the big difference. All right. What else have we got? Events. We've got some great fireworks displays. It's a great weekend, I think, to go out and remember what really went into the fight for independence. Now, I'm a little bit envious, believe it or not. Rich Herrera, who you know is the host of Richmond's Morning News every morning, 6 a.m., his son Riggs is visiting, and Rich hasn't seen him in a while. He's a student out in Arizona, you know, and Rich and the family are trying to relocate, all that stuff. I mean, he's talked about that, so I'm not telling anything out of school. But I get that. On a personal base, because I've done some hellacious commutes through the years where I'm working far away from family. I know how difficult that is. So Rich has the opportunity over the next week to introduce his son to a whole bunch of history. Think about it. Do you remember the first time you had the opportunity to visit, I don't know, Mount Vernon or Monticello? You had the opportunity to take somebody who was from out of town and show them some of the battle sites. You used to be able to show them the monuments, but not so much anymore. Going up to D.C., and it sure seems like it's a great thing, I got to tell you. When you talk about the love of history, because Rich was actually sharing some of the anecdotes with his son. So I'm just thinking it's going to be very cool. That's a great thing. And just take a moment. If you can, go and take a moment, enjoy it, and show everybody that, and enjoy the holiday. Again, I'm going to remind you, everybody's got their own different thing for the holiday. Now, we are actually headed down to Chesterfield tomorrow. Very excited about this. Haven't seen our friends, the Morrisseys, in a while. You know, that's Emily Morrissey. And I know everybody wants to be Emily's pal, but, you know, she's a very, very busy young lady. She doesn't have time to be hanging out with everybody. But I'm fortunate. You know, Emily kind of digs me, and I'm happy to be dug. Her whole family has become great friends, and we really do treasure them. So we'll have the opportunity to spend Independence Day down there, and we don't have to do anything. God, I love the idea of not doing anything, because as you know, my natural disposition is sloth. I am part sloth, so if I don't have to do anything, believe me, I'm aces at not doing anything. But that being said, we'll have a great time. But then Saturday, my goal is to get that tomahawk on the grill, right? I told you, got it the other day, hanging out with Tom and TJ at Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market in Short Pump. And I love those. I love the tomahawks. And there was a time where I kind of had to, not argue, but I had to explain to Heidi the beauty of it. First of all, yes, it could be a single serving, but the tomahawks, man, I'm just telling you, you can feed the whole family. Comes off the grill, comes off the right way. If you're like me, you kind of toss it back for a couple of minutes. I do cook it longer. I'm more of a well-done guy. Shh, don't tell anybody. But great stuff over there. So if you need something, I would suggest you pop into Tom's. All right, we've got Mindy Applewhite coming up at 5:35. An amazing story, and God bless her for being willing to tell it. 5:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Friday Eve, as we like to say. It's also the eve of Independence Day. Most of us have a three-day weekend, right? Most of us going to be able to do some fun stuff tomorrow for Independence Day. We'll have a full weekend after that. I always remind you there are plenty of folks who don't. If you are in the public safety realm, it's another day at the office, if you will. You're in the military, it's another day. You're a first responder of any sort. You are a nurse, it's another day. And these are folks who every single day get up and do exactly what they are called upon to do. Wonderful people. It pains me to even think about the loss that my friend Mindy Applewhite experienced. But I am so inspired and amazed that Mindy is with us and sharing the story of her beautiful daughter, Lindsay, and what happened and how it happened. She's a great lady. Well, they're both great ladies. Mindy is with us. Mindy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on.
I just want you to tell the story of Lindsay, who she was, what she did, and then what happened that ended this beautiful, promising life.
My daughter, Lindsay, she was a newlywed. She had been married for about 7 months. She had just received her doctorate from UVA in nursing, so she was a DNP for about 10 weeks. She was a very fierce patient advocate at MCV where she worked and ultimately passed. She was very loving, very caring, and she was a force of nature. On July 31st, 2023, she was leaving her house in South Richmond to go get dog food when she was struck by an offender that was a convicted felon that was out on probation after he got out of prison early. He had already picked up two new distribution charges and was left out on an ankle monitor from the probation office. They didn't do anything. My daughter was hit so hard, he was at least going 30 miles over the speed limit, and hit her in her driver's side door in front of her house, where she lived. She was taken to MCV at her request, and the next day they had to do emergency brain surgery from strokes that she started having from whiplash from being hit so hard that we lost her.
Mindy, I'll say it again, and for everybody who's hearing this story for the first time, our hearts go out to you. Moms and dads everywhere know you're not supposed to bury your kids. That's not the way this is supposed to work. You said at Lindsay's request, was she conscious when they removed her?
Yes.
She was.
She was cut out of the car. Her husband heard the crash because it was in front of her house, and she actually called me from the scene, and she said, "Mom, there's been an accident. You need to call my husband." And so I thought, okay, she's talking. She called me from the scene. At least she's okay. What we learned later at MCV from the doctors is that a lot of younger people, when they have acute whiplash from being hit so hard, that it causes basically a brain bleeds. And they tried to save her, and these were her friends that she worked with. They tried everything, and we lost her in emergency brain surgery.
Mindy, I've shared with folks that you yourself, a career law enforcement professional, probation officer. I mean, you devoted your life to public service and doing the right thing on the front lines. What's your sense as a retired probation officer to see that? That's who it was that set this loser free.
What I say is that the department that I devoted my life to, which was, like you said, public safety, and I spent my life working with gang members and violent felons in the city of Richmond, the department I worked for caused me to lose my daughter. The earned credit sentencing law that was passed in 2020 was not supposed to let violent felons out, yet they did. And the probation office has the means and the wherewithal to take people off the street on probation violation warrants, and yet they didn't. So I was failed multiple times by the system that I worked for.
This is what I don't understand. Let me remind everybody, Mindy Applewhite is joining us. Mindy, you want to talk about a force of nature. Mindy is a force of nature. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman telling the story of her daughter. And I want to make sure I say Dr. Lindsay Grizzard Braun, a beautiful young woman whose life was really just starting, and her life right up until the moment she passed was devoted to helping others. But Mindy, you and I both know, and I know sitting here as an ex-cop, my best friend as a cop was always a probation or a parole officer, because you guys could go in and, quote, violate much easier than I could effect an arrest in many cases. So how is it possible for that agency to have not noticed, hey, wait a minute, this Delta Bravo, no, he's not supposed to be out. We got to send him back.
I have been in touch with the Department of Corrections. I've been in touch with the Public Safety Director. I've even talked to the governor. They said that they, quote unquote, change policies to wait until convictions rather than certify charges. I know when I worked, if you had a certified felony and you were a violent felon, you came off the street. Right. So this is not a law that was changed. It was an office policy that was changed. And I'm working with the Public Safety Director. I'm trying desperately to get this reinstated where they use it. But I was told yesterday when I was down at the Attorney General's office speaking on this subject that they're going to put a bill before, I don't know who, that they're going to attempt to take away the rights of probation officers to even have arrest authority anymore when the General Assembly comes back in.
What?
I don't know this. I'm speaking from what I heard yesterday. And my response to that is, we were sworn in. I took an oath to protect the public, and I get law enforcement retirement because of it. So I don't understand how they can, I mean, I guess they could take it. If enough votes come in, they could take their arrest power away, but they'd be nothing more than social workers at that point.
Oh, that's absurd. Good Lord. That's bat crap crazy. That's nonsense. That is just ridiculous. Tell me about Jason Meares, the Attorney General, because you mentioned how you were down there. You chatted with our Attorney General and the governor. What other things were you able to address with Jason Meares?
Mr. Meares was wonderful. He's pretty much been an advocate and been the only one to come to me and say, what can we do? How do we get this earned credit sentencing enhancement law changed or back to the way it used to be? Because inmates used to serve 85% of their sentence. Now they only serve roughly 66% of their sentence. So they're doing a little more than half. The truth in sentencing is gone. There's no more truth in sentencing. And it wasn't supposed to apply to violent felons, yet the person who hit my daughter had been in prison for shooting somebody in the back over a drug transaction.
Jeez.
And had scored high in recidivism rate.
Right. Where is he now? Go ahead.
He's in the Department of Corrections. I don't want to say we were forced to, but we were either forced to go to trial, where the most he could get was 10 years for malicious wounding, or take a plea agreement. And I did not want to put my family through a trial and have to relive this accident. So we agreed to a plea agreement, which was 5 years. And on top of that, I had to agree to take the 28 years comeback time off the table. So he'll be out in 2027.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, Mindy, let's end this on, I don't want to say a positive note, but...
Well, I would like to just, if I could add one thing.
Yeah.
Senator Scott Stovall,
yes.
I believe
yep.
the title was,
yeah.
He appeared on the Channel 6 news station after I did my speech down at the Attorney General's office, and called my daughter a one-off, said she was injured, and she I just want people to know that he owes our family an apology. We are not a statistic. My daughter was not a one-off, and she was not injured. She was killed.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, Mindy. His language, his attitude, inexcusable, absolutely inexcusable. The apology that Senator Saraval owes to you and your family is gigantic, and I hope that he will have just the common decency, the dignity to reach out to you and offer some sort of an apology. I don't know that I personally would be accepting it, but by God, you know, I
I'm not counting on it, but yeah. It would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice.
But on a positive note, yeah. I would like to move forward and have a Lindsay's Law passed or a policy passed in her honor so that other families do not have to go through what we're going through. Something good has to come of this.
Yeah. Well, that's what I want to do in terms of help. I want to help you with that, whether it's meeting up or getting you set up with a meeting with some of the legislators to figure out a good Lindsay's Law. I also want people to know your daughter in 30 years impacted in a positive way so many people, and she was so beloved and such an absolute beautiful young woman who was devoted to helping people. And I got to tell you something, Mindy, and you know, you're one tough cookie, and I admire that about you, but your daughter, I guarantee you, looked at you and thought, well, you know, my mom's pretty hot stuff. I can help and do some good stuff just like her. Tell us just quickly about the representations of Lindsay, because I know obviously there's a square, but many of us, I mean, with the summertime, we're going to be seeing some flying things around the yard that, well, they got Lindsay written all over them, don't they?
Oh, the dragonflies.
Yeah.
Yes, she presents herself as a dragonfly. She shows up all over the place to help my friends or just say hi and let them know that she's still working her magic from the other side.
What a beautiful, beautiful woman she was. Mindy, thank you for sharing the story. Thank you
for having me on.
God bless you. Anything we can do, you let us know. And again, know that it far too soon, but all of the good that she did while she was in the community actively, just amazing, just incredible, just incredible story. Mindy Applewhite, thank you for being here. That is Mindy Applewhite. She herself, a marvelous person, devoted her life to serving our beloved Commonwealth. The story of her daughter is one you have to read. It's one you have to experience. Again, thanks not just to Mindy for being here. That takes a lot. But John Burkett, my friend, the crime insider over at CBS6, who did a wonderful piece on her. And again, I would say to that Scott Saraval, sir, I don't think much of you. I never have, but that's something else for another day. This is not a political thing. You owe Mindy Applewhite and her family an apology. Her daughter was not a one-off. Her daughter was not a statistic. Her daughter was not hurt. Her daughter was a beautiful, vibrant, caring member of our community who, quite frankly, sir, did more good in her 30 years than you will do if you live to 130. Let's see you man up, be a decent human being, and apologize. It's Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 550, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve, my friends. We've got Independence Day coming up. I'm excited. Anybody else excited? All sorts of celebrations, all sorts of observances. I'm hoping a few memories as well. You grow up in certain areas. Well, I grew up in Philadelphia, as you know. And for us, summer occurred officially on Memorial Day. We would... For the most part, it seemed like everybody in our neighborhood would go to one town down the shore, Wildwood. And you'd see the same people there that you normally saw in the neighborhood throughout the course of the summer. and it was a relatively long drive, or at least I thought it was, 90 minutes, although with lots of the Memorial Day traffic, oftentimes it was 2 hours. And my dad was always concerned with, and I quote, making time. Gotta make time. Gotta make time. If we're gonna make time, we gotta, okay. Now, what did it mean? Well, it meant, number one, to me and my brother, the boys, the guys in the back, hey, if you guys have to go to the bathroom, either hold it till we get to Wildwood in 2 hours, or there's an empty soda bottle back there. Don't get it on the floor. Okay. And then we also had tolls. Now, we would have to cross a bridge to get from Philadelphia over to New Jersey. And this was back in the day, as folks are wont to say, where they had the big buckets, they would look like big buckets. You'd throw a quarter in there, or a dime, I think, actually, the first time, if I remember back really, really early, my dad was throwing dimes into the buckets. Then you'd get onto the Garden State Parkway, where essentially there was a toll every 11 feet. And so my dad would have to throw his dime or his quarter into the bucket, and he had to roll down the window. Yes, it was in the days when you had to roll down the window. And rolling down the window meant you actually had to roll down the window. And again, my dad, because he was so busy, so concerned with, quote, making time, he would roll down the window in advance of the actual toll-paying bucket situation. So it was not the most pleasant drive. That's my point. But then we'd be down the shore. We'd get to the beach. We'd go to the boardwalk. That'd all be good. That'd be fun. So that was Memorial Day. That was kind of the beginning of summer for us, the summer season as kids. But Independence Day was a little bit different. Independence Day, we were not headed down the shore. Independence Day, we were actually headed just across the bridge to cousins who lived in New Jersey. And they had an above-ground pool. And that was a big deal when you grew up in the city. Any sort of a pool was a big deal when you grew up in the city. And so that was our Independence Day. And I still have the memories. Now, some of them are not great memories. I got to tell you, there's a lot of bugs. You know me. I consider myself the great indoorsman, not the great outdoorsman. But it was a very, very meaningful time, and I still have those memories decades later. And I'm hoping you'll take the opportunity to make some memories. Part of them related to the history of this great nation, what's been accomplished, and part of them related to your family. Monday morning at 6 a.m., please listen to my buddy Rich Herrera, Richmond's Morning News. I want you to have a wonderful Independence Day. Yes, enjoy the long weekend. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again on Monday, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.